sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. We'll be talking a little bit about Monmouth in just a bit. The game last night, Penn State now gets ready for St. John's in basketball. Also a little bit about Becknell's game last night with Mount St. Mary's. Get you ready for Penn State, Wisconsin. Corey Geiger is going to be on the show today. Looking forward to that. Also, Josh Moyer from ESPN.com is going to join us. Jack Hamm on the show Friday with John Bacon and the former Detroit Lion Hall of Fame corner, one of the best ever, Lem Barney, will be on the show Friday as well. We are looking forward to all that and much, much more. I mean, this is a fun week. It may be Thanksgiving. With no show tomorrow, Kevin's put together a best of show. I mean, there's so many choices on the best of. Let's face it. Now, I texted Kevin, Sarah, after the show yesterday. And I said, we were so nice to you on the show. You know what he texted back? I doubt that. Now, this is after I told everybody I loved him like a brother. Okay. What am I doing wrong here? What am I doing wrong? I mean, was it the Flacco versus Permonte sandwich bet? I don't know. I don't know. Oh, well. So, that's the story. So what we're going to do is we're going to check in with Inside Penn State Athletics with Bill O'Brien today, courtesy of Learfield Sports.
On the Penn State Sports Network, presented by Sands Bethlehem, it's time for Inside Penn State Athletics, brought to you by McClanahan's. Check us out at PennStateRoom.com. Here's Steve Jones.
The Nittany Lion football team closes the season at Wisconsin. And coming up on Inside Penn State Athletics, presented by McClanahan's, we'll hear from head coach Bill O'Brien on the Penn State Sports Network, presented by Sands Bethlehem from Learfield Sports.
If you're a PA Turnpike traveler who wants to defend against higher tolls, get EasyPass today. EasyPass users pay 25% less on average than cash customers. With EasyPass, you'll pay less and enjoy the ease of turnpike travel without stopping for cash or tickets. Before you get on the PA Turnpike, tackle higher tolls with Easy Pass. Get yours today at Wegmans and Walmart stores and AAA offices statewide, or visit paturnpike.com. Easy Pass. It's always saved you time. Now it saves you 25%.
Discover the ultimate outlet experience. The Outlets at Sands Bethlehem is your ideal shopping destination. High-end selections and affordable prices. This is where it's at. Home to your favorite designer brands and premium labels, including Coach Factory, Guess Factory Store, DKNY, Under Armour, Tommy Hilfiger, Chico's Outlet, and so much more. Treat yourself to the finer things in life for less. Step into style at the Outlets at Sands Bethlehem, where fashion meets fabulous.
Penn State will take on Wisconsin Saturday at Camp Randall. Head coach Bill O'Brien on the improvement of his football team.
I believe we've gotten better in certain areas. I think some areas we haven't gotten better. I think we've become a better running team, running the football. Yeah. I think we've gotten better defensively at defending the run, and I think we've gotten better defensively at stopping some of these space plays. I believe we've improved as a defense. I think our passing game has been up and down offensively, and that's a big area of improvement in the offseason. We've got to be a better passing team because we can be. We've got a really good quarterback, and we've got some really good tight ends and receivers that can go up and catch the ball. So, you know, we'll look to improve there. And I think our zone coverage on defense has to really improve.
How have you felt about the guys up front, the way they fired out on the run game, the way they protected on pass plays?
Yeah, I've been happy with our offensive line. I think they've paved the way for two kids that are, you know, reaching 1,000 yards. Whether they reach it or not, I mean, they're both 700, 800 yards rushing. So, you know, I think that says a lot about your offensive line and your tight ends. I definitely think there's been improvement there.
Okay, now let's flip it over to the defensive side. You went through, I think, what, three straight games where you held teams under their average rushing per game.
Right.
A lot of people don't, I think, realize right. that. Where have you seen the improvement in how they play gap football and how they handle the run?
Well, I think it's improved a lot. I think that a lot of the younger players have improved over the course of the year. Austin Johnson, Brandon Bell.
The Nittany Lions will take on Wisconsin Saturday at 3:30. We're on beginning at 2 o'clock.
Inside Penn State Athletics has been brought to you by McClanahan's. Check us out on PennStateRoom.com.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. Like a 2011 Ford Explorer Limited, only 12,000 miles, $34,999. 2010 Lincoln MKX, just one owner, $24,955. 2012 Kia Optima LX comes with a Carfax buyback guarantee, just $16,399. 2012 Hyundai Sonata, accident-free, fully serviced, just $13,796. And a like-new 2012 Ford Focus SE, lowest price promise, just $16,961. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
And welcome to the Steve Jones Show.
It's a nice Wednesday afternoon. Sarah, you're sitting in the Kevin Herr seat this afternoon. Steve Jones joining us very shortly. And, you know, Sarah, last night he called a game. Penn State beat Monmouth by like 350 points or something like that. Meanwhile, in local sports, Bucknell traveled down to Mount St. Mary's to Maryland, your home state.
That's true.
And they lost kind of a tough one.
Yeah, close one.
They were down by 10 at the halftime, and Cameron Ayers, their All-Patriot League first-team guard, ended up only playing 6 minutes in the first half. Not going to win a lot of games when Cam's sitting there with two fouls.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
And so they came back right at the end, got it close, ended up losing by five. But the semi-big story about that is they just had an awful time getting to Emmitsburg, Maryland, because of the traffic around Harrisburg. So they got there late. I don't know how much of a warm-up they got, but it was a tough one. And they're going to be back on Saturday night on Eagle 107 with Doug Birdsong. They play host to the Tigers of Princeton, and they need a rebound victory on that. Meanwhile, the Nittany Lions basketball team will be playing St. John's. It's part of, I think, the Barkley tournament. And Steve and Jack Ham will be making their way to Wisconsin as the Nittany Lion gridiron team takes on the Badgers of Wisconsin in the final game of the 2013 season. So we got lots going on.
Yeah, a lot coming up.
And, of course, tomorrow, Thanksgiving, we'll have a Best of Steve Jones show. You know what the scary part of that is?
What?
Kevin Herr put it together.
The best of.
The best of. Was it the best of Kevin Herr or the best of Steve Jones?
I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
We will. And then on Friday, Steve has some incredible interviews lined up. Lem Barney, who you have to be kind of old like me to remember him with the Detroit Lions. And you know, Sarah, Steve was able to get, now this is stunning to me, an interview with Jack Ham. How does he get these connections?
He is, you know.
He just has it. So Jack Ham will be joining Steve on Friday as well. So we've got lots of good sports. High school playoffs. Normally, you know, this time of year we'll be talking about, as we were in past years, whether it was the Selins Grove Seals a few years ago on their march to a state championship, Danville Ironmen into playoffs, Southern Columbia going for about their 19th consecutive or whatever it is number of being in the PIAA semifinals and finals in single A. But this year, not a lot of high school teams in the Northeast quadrant in the playoffs. The only one left would be the Bulldogs of Berwick. George Curry, the legendary winningest coach in high school football in Pennsylvania, came literally out of retirement, got off his rocking chair. The Dogs, undefeated, 13-0, play the Clearfield Bison. And it's going to be at Central Mountain High School Friday night at 7 o'clock. I'm contemplating going.
Are you?
I really am. I love high school football.
Yeah.
And even though I'm from downriver of Berwick, I have a lot of friends in the Berwick area. Love to go see them play. Used to go watch Ron Palace before he went to Notre Dame. a great high school quarterback that he was. And George Curry's just a lot of fun. The guy has no pretense to him. His emotions are right on his sleeve for everyone to see. And he is 67 or 68 years old, going on about 25 in terms of his enthusiasm and intensity on a football field. So that's a big game. And then, Sarah, I noticed you're wearing the Ravens colors today. Is there a reason for that?
Well, you know, I should wear purple and black all week for tomorrow's big game.
Brother.
Oh, I knew you'd chime in as soon as I started talking about the Ravens.
Oh, brother. I'm really looking forward to that game. Really, it's just as a game. They have no, you know, it's, yeah. People, I realize that people, when they have a rooting interest, they're really into it. I also enjoy games when I have no dog in the hunt. And it's because I just want to watch a good football game. Well, I think that's going to be a real football game.
I agree.
Really good football game.
Now, Kevin Hur, on the other hand, will be ensconced in his man cave with all of his superstitious clothing and heaven knows what else he has down there. You know, voodoo dolls, I'm not sure, with pins. But, yeah, I'm like you. I like a good football game, but I am a Steelers fan. And on the same vein, Steve, I look forward to Saturday when Alabama and Auburn. I'm really looking forward to that just as a fan. I don't have an interest one way or the other, but I think, again, that's a good game.
That's a really good game. And also, when you look at that game, the intense rivalry between the two, which brings with it a certain level of, I don't like you.
Yeah. The Auburn fans like will not even mention the word Alabama. They just can't get it out of their lips.
Bear Bryant, Pitt used to do this to Penn State, and it irked Joe a lot. Bear Bryant used to refer to Auburn. They said, are you ever going to play a game at Auburn? He says, we're not going down, play down at the Cow College. He used to call him the Cow College.
Well, and Woody Hayes.
The knife turns.
Yes.
The knife turns.
Woody Hayes referred to Michigan as the school up north. He could never utter the words Michigan. He was the school up north. Everyone in Ohio knew what that meant.
Yes, so, they did. And they would play each other. And they would beat each other up every single year, and neither one of them could win a bowl game.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I was thinking
And Ohio State fans hate when I point out to them that, you know, Woody was a great coach, but I'm telling you right now, in the big games, he didn't get done. Okay? Just didn't get done.
Yeah, for whatever reason. And obviously it was a great source of sideline frustration, as we all know from the legendary
The Clemson game, yeah.
Issue that he had on the sidelines one year in a bowl game. You know, I was thinking, Steve, Thanksgiving used to be high school football rivalry day before the state playoffs all across Pennsylvania, New Jersey. I'm sure in Connecticut there was a Thanksgiving Day game. Well,
I played in it, and I think that's one of the things that's really missing today in the current system. I played in two Thanksgiving Day games. It was, you know, and there were two high schools in my town. We had enough population at the time where we had two high schools. I played for Enfield High School, and Enfield's the name of the town.
Right.
And Enrico Fermi High School was our crosstown rival. We would meet on Thanksgiving morning at 10 o'clock. We each had a bye the week before. We'd meet on Thanksgiving morning at 10 o'clock, and there were 1,000 people there. They would bring in extra bleachers and ring the field with bleachers. And for us, it was a big, big, big deal. I mean, a big deal. We you know, it meant nothing statewide. It meant nothing except for the pure pride of playing the game. And that, I thought, special.
And, you know, one of the big games here was the incredible rivalry between Shamokin and Mount Carmel. That was the tradition. Yeah. You know, the coal cracker bowl, as we call it, in outside of the Shamokin and Mount Carmel area, because those two set of coal cracker teams would go at it. And literally, as you said, in Connecticut, there were 10,000 people there. There were 10,000 people in Mount Carmel or Shamokin on Thanksgiving Day. And that was a rivalry day that, again, transcended high school football across the country. All gone now, and, you know, football season ends. It starts much earlier. It ends early because of the need to have state playoff games. So you can't expect a team that finished their last regular season game and is not in the playoffs early in November to hang around for another 3 weeks or so to just play a game anymore. And that's sad.
Well, I don't like that. It's the part I don't like. I don't understand,
And in college football...
Well, some parts I understand, some parts I don't. It's, I think it's sad that it's come to this. I mean, and also consolidation of schools. For example, Enrico Fermi High School in my town doesn't exist anymore. They stopped that consolidation. So what they had to do, they consolidated everybody into Enfield, and that ended the rivalry 2 years ago because there was no rival to play any longer.
They sort of went away. We had the tradition in small town USA was a 10 o'clock football game. The game was over, obviously, right around noon. Everybody cleaned up, went home, got warm, and had a beautiful Thanksgiving dinner. And
that's what we did. We'd play the game, we'd go out, and
yeah. But alums,
we'd beat the hell out of them and then leave.
Yeah, but but alums would come in and come back home from wherever they were to watch game and be with their families. It was huge.
Oh, no question about that. And I miss that. And I think that we're missing the boat on something like that. To me, the playoffs in high school should not begin until next weekend, and there should be fewer playoff teams.
And have a great season then, rival.
Just my thought. I think there should be fewer playoff games. Kevin's at home now going, oh, come on. Come on.
He's already got the 2014 slate picked out.
Yeah. It's much more fun when I can sit there and tell you about the 8 playoff teams and their seedings. Really? Really?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We're here on SJS Wednesday afternoon. Steve apparently cooking some turkey right now, getting ready for tomorrow at the Jones Homestead. I know his family's all getting back together, and then, of course, Steve has to take off for the Cheesehead State or the something Cheese State of Wisconsin. And he's got a big game to call on Saturday afternoon, I think kickoff 3:30 on WKOK with the pregame show from probably the press box at Camp Randall Stadium starting at 2 o'clock. Meanwhile, we'll be waiting on Eagle 107 Saturday night for the Bucknell-Princeton game starting with...
Yeah, that should be interesting.
That
should be interesting.
Steve, last night, Bucknell on the road. Cam Ayers got 2 fouls early, played 6 minutes the first half. They were down by 10. And as you know, it's really tough to come from behind a double-digit deficit in the second half on the road.
It is.
They did not play all that well. I think having Cam Ayers sitting and getting splinters on the bench for the first half obviously didn't help the story.
No, it doesn't help the story at all. I mean, and that's, when you have, when Tim Frazier gets 2 fouls and have to sit, and when you have Cam Ayers getting 2 fouls and have to sit, I mean, it changes the dynamics of what you're watching. That's a constant problem in college basketball because it's the only sport that forces you to take people out when there's a penalty.
Exactly. And it makes the game exciting,
too. That.
And last night I listened to you and Dick Girardi on the call with Monmouth, And it seemed like the first half was steady, but boy, did the Lions blow it open in the second half. I think everybody on the team got to play. I know that they had suited up. The water boy was ready to come in toward the end of the game. It was one of those great games where a lot of guys get to play.
Everybody that was available played. The only two guys that didn't play last night were Jordan Dickerson, who's sitting out by transfer, and Johnny Johnson, who can't play until December 22nd when his transfer year is up. Those are the only two guys that didn't play last night.
And
Peyton Banks didn't play there. I think they're trying to redshirt Peyton Banks. So
yeah, want to hold off on him. But a great opportunity to get ready for a real tough game with St. John's.
And you know what? St. John's, that's a winnable game for Penn State. In fact, I think they can win the tournament and then set up with a showdown with Pitt, which will be next Tuesday night down at the Pete. I think Penn State has the firepower to win the tournament. Which is something I rarely have thought going into in my career. There's certain points in my career where I thought they'd go into some place and win a tournament. I remember in 96, I thought they would win the cable car, and they did. I remember when they were going to Milwaukee for a tournament one year and thought they could win that tournament. Beat Marquette, did win that tournament at the Bradley Center. So, I mean, there have been moments where I thought they could win tournaments. This is one of those moments where I think they can win it.
And, you know, Pitt last night pounded Stanford.
Yeah, they did. You know, Pitt's a lower possession team. Penn State's a team that wants to go at you at 75, 77 possessions a game. Pitt's a 65-possession team per game. I think a lot of people think Pitt wants to run. Yeah, Pitt wants to run to a point, but they really want to keep it low possession at this particular stage, lower possession. I mean, they're not Wisconsin low possession.
No, no. Wisconsin has, like, what, 12 possessions a game?
Yeah.
They just don't want to run it up and down the court. They just love it. But, yeah, Pitt is going to be, I think, a challenge because what you've just said, the contrasting styles.
And that's what that part comes down to, is the contrasting style. And I think that, you know, playing down there, I'm glad the game's down there. You know, I want to find out if Penn State can win the game. They're going to get a lot of credit in the RPI for going on the road and doing it. And that's a part of it, too. This is where I talked to some people about Ohio State in football, and I said, look, they should have found another team somewhere that was willing to play one game there and play them because they needed an upgrade in their non-conference schedule. Mm-hmm. And when you're playing a non-conference schedule, it's Florida A&M, Buffalo, San Diego State, and then Cal. I mean, you know, there's no way you could get rid of the Cal game because for Cal, I mean, it was a return, and Cal deserves a return. They already played at Ohio State. But they should have found somebody else to give them a little more RPI jump because they needed it in the end. Now we're going to find out this weekend how it'll play out. Florida State should win easily against Florida. Florida's just not playing well. And then you have Ohio State and Michigan. Michigan will play far better. Michigan's far better at home than they are on the road. I mean, they are a good 7 to 10 points better at home than they are on the road. So, that plays out this weekend. And Alabama, Auburn, and let's face it, I think of the three top teams, the one that is most vulnerable to losing is actually Alabama.
Yeah, because that's a great Auburn team that's going to be tough to play. You know, Florida State, that Florida team, obviously they're not going to be bowl eligible. They get beat by Georgia Southern. They've got obviously some issues on that team, and the fan base is... Yes, some, like every issue.
Some?
Yes. I'm just being kind to the Floridians. But obviously the Gator faithful are exceedingly restless.
Yeah, you know, of course they are, because it's not going well.
No. I mean, Georgia Southern, it reminds me of the Appalachian State-Michigan game. Yeah, Appalachian State was really good. We knew that because of the one double A, they're really a great school. But beating Michigan out at the Big House, who'd have thought? And Georgia Southern going down to Florida, playing that down there in the old swamp, same thing. But those
and not completing a pass.
they ran it right at them, stuffed them right down the field. And you're not supposed to be able to do that. But guess what? Somebody apparently forgot to give that memo to the Georgia Southern team.
Can't stand when you don't get that memo.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, where's the memo? We should have known this. So I'm looking. When is the what time is the St. John's Penn State basketball game?
Well, you know, it's
sorry.
I don't know.
Okay.
You know, it's you know, if I look at Penn State going to Wisconsin, and I think a little bit about that. Last year when they played, Wisconsin had two big plays early in the game. A touchdown run by Monte Ball, which broke the NCAA touchdown record, and then the jet sweep they ran with Melvin Gordon. After that, Penn beat them up front. Jordan Hill dominated that game. They beat Wisconsin up front, and that's how eventually they got to overtime with this team. They need to somehow beat this team up front again in order to win.
I was seated right behind the Wisconsin bench last year at the game, and weather conditions were rather brisk, to put it mildly, and I was watching the Wisconsin linemen coming off the field, and honestly, you're so right, Steve. They were carrying some of those guys off at the end of the game. They were just really beaten up physically. And to say you can do that to a Wisconsin line, which is all the offensive line is like the heart and soul of that team.
Exactly right. But that's what they need to do Saturday. They need to beat them at the line. Now, for Penn State, how the linebackers have gone has really dictated how the defense has gone. And when Penn State has had healthy linebackers, Mike Hull, perfect example. Now you mix in Brandon Bell. Now you mix in to go with Wartman. Now I think you put yourselves in a position to play better defense and have a shot. When Penn State's linebackers were not healthy, they gave up a lot of yards and a lot of points.
And a lot of long runs, too.
A lot of long everything.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
I mean, every time you turn around. But now they've had in the month of November healthy linebacker, and that has made a difference in how they have played. And they, of course, will be healthy for this one going in against Wisconsin. Wisconsin is the team that, when you look at them, they average 4.3 yards per carry before contact. Okay? It's great when you average 4 carry. It's incredible when it's 4.3 yards per contact. I mean, before you even get to contact. That's unbelievable. And I think that's something that, you know, is you have to slow down with this team, and you have to get contact and get a hat on them early in a play because people aren't getting a hat on them early in a play. And, you know, if Stave's had a good year throwing the ball, but you have to force him to win it.
And, you know, it reminds me of what Penn State was able to do against Michigan in that 4-overtime victory, because how many times, Steve, did you call during the course of that game when Penn State was on defense, no gain by Michigan? And there was
happened repeat.
Yeah. Wasn't in Toussaint, I think, is the name of their really great running back who was way under his average and the rushing average for the whole Michigan team.
Well, Toussaint had 27 carries, 27 yards in that game. The only running attack Michigan had in that game was Devin Gardner on X plays. Yeah, some of them were design runs.
Yeah.
But there were a few X plays as well. You know, and
those things happen when you have a talented guy like Gardner back there.
Yeah, no, but they're going to need Gardner to play like that on Saturday against Ohio State. They're just going to need that. But I don't think Michigan has enough defense team. I think the offensive line for Ohio State is the dominant function of that football team. Years ago, when they were just the weakness football team. That Jack and I talked to about how they played, about how they played 2 years ago. First thing they said, offensive line problems. Boom, offensive line problems. Now they've matured to seniors. They are the strength of that football team. Ohio State is a championship level football team because they have a championship offensive line. Simple as that.
Well, and I'm going to say this weekend is a fun-loving time for people like you and me who love college football, and we get a whole Saturday of this, and I get to start out my day at Bloom University watching Bloomsburg and Westchester go at it for the right to go to the regional finals in Division II. And so it's college football Saturday.
I think it's terrific. I really do.
It is.
I mean, across the board, I think any kind of football. Now, I was looking at a little bit of a tape. I saw it was the touchdown play Hackenberg scored on, and then the touchdown pass he threw to Brenneman, and the snow was swirling all over the stadium.
Yes, it was.
And you look at last year when the Penn State played Wisconsin, the snow was swirling all around the stadium. I understand we all enjoy the 55 to 70 degree football Saturday, where maybe you can bring a light jacket, maybe have a moment, take off the jacket for a while, whatever, and be really comfortable. We all enjoy that. But there is something about sitting in the stadium in November when there's a swirl of snow and you've got the Big Ten football game in front of you and they're going head-to-head or going to Bloomsburg in a little swirl of snow and a little cold out there and watching them go head-to-head playing a big game, whatever it happens to be. I mean, there's just something about it. The conditions that football is played under is part of the charm of football. Now, of course, Kevin has often talked about building a fire in the press box. He's a bit soft.
He is soft.
But, you know, Bob, geez, even for you to say that, that was kind of cruel.
Yeah, he is, actually, but he is. I sat with him outdoors at football games. I'll tell you, the one word that comes to – or one phrase that comes to mind as you describe that, the weather conditions in late January or late November in college football – and I don't know who coined it, but the old phrase, slobber knocker. You know, it's one of those.
It's a slobber knocker game.
Exactly.
It
is.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see a lot of that on Saturday. I don't know what the weather forecast is for Madison, but it's obviously not what it is in Cancun, where apparently Kevin went for the week. at least that's what he's telling everybody. I think he's ensconced in his basement back home. But it's going to be challenging conditions, no doubt about it. And
we'll come back with more talk about that in a few moments here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Normally, when this is being played, Kevin is getting down,
he's
up on his feet,
doing,
and
the
all
funky
of a sudden he break dances.
Yep.
He break dances just a bit because he trips.
Yeah, doing the funky chicken.
Stop this, laughing, Sarah.
It's true, but we know
that. Again, it's the mental pictures.
So, Sarah, do you...
Oh, yeah. Something to that.
Sarah, do you have a kickoff time for the Ravens-Steelers game on Thursday?
That is 8:30.
Oh, boy.
That one's 8:30. So, you know where I'll be.
Yes. And I think a lot of people in Pennsylvania and Maryland will be in their living rooms.
Oh yeah,
having turkey sandwiches.
Yeah, that's true. It's like this. It's like the second or third go round of the turkey, like at that time, because you know, and that's what you do.
Now this is what I love. Okay, I love eventually. Okay, making a turkey sandwich. I like to take some turkey, put it on a Kaiser roll, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Stuffing, a little cranberry sauce, a little mayo. Boom. Sit there, right, and watch a game after I've done something like that, which I'm sure cut 8, 9, maybe 10 years of my life. But
well, two things about that. One is you give away your New England roots by putting cranberry on your sandwich. That's first.
Yes, but it must be the gelled, not the whole berry.
Exactly.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, who does that?
I know. I understand. And that's the first thing. And the second thing is turkey is actually very healthy for people. So that's a good thing.
Oh, good. I want more.
Yeah, then two.
It's actually my favorite meal. My favorite meal, oh, man, turkey. Even when I'm at a tavern here in downtown State College, I will order a turkey dinner. I love it. I mean, it's just, I mean, and like all the fixings, the whole thing, you know. Now, of course, we have a tendency here to make too many. It's like, we have squash and we have turnips. Like, ooh.
Yeah.
No, just I want potato stuffing in the bird.
Yeah.
Okay?
And I think
the, what's yours, Bob?
On Thanksgiving, my mother makes the best oyster dish that a son could ever have to eat. And so we have some, obviously the turkey, but oysters, and then later on we make fried oyster sandwiches, and then a little tartar sauce with that.
Oysters, really?
Yes.
Yeah, I have to admit, I had for somebody who grew up near the sea of because in New England, I like clams, I like scallops, shrimp, but I had never had mussels.
Oh,
and then I finally had it. They were great.
Yeah.
I was surprised, but I've never had oysters. Never have had oysters.
My mother makes a baked oyster dish with the oyster crackers and butter and all kinds of things in a casserole dish. And that comes out right with the, right alongside the turkey, and we put that on the table. And then I make sure that there's always about enough left over for some sandwiches. And then the oysters left over, we bread them, fry them, and I have a fried oyster sandwich. As I'm watching a Thursday night football game.
Or your turn.
I'm very traditional for Thanksgiving, so I love the turkey, good. I love cranberries, stuffing, mashed potatoes, just that I'm very traditional.
Oh, yeah.
But I like the seafood thing, Bob, and that's what we do in Maryland on Christmas. The day Christmas Eve, we always have a big...
Really?
Yeah, so our thing will be just all like kinds of fish and... oysters and clams. We don't do crabs. We save that for summer.
Okay, but, no Maryland crabs.
No
for
Maryland
Christmas.
Crabs for Christmas. No, but we do. We just do a big seafood dinner. Yeah.
That's delicious. No,
I go back. It's still the turkey and stuffing on Christmas too.
Well, the difference is in our household, because of my connection with New Zealand and having spent a lot of time there in my life, and including when I was in high school, we have New Zealand lamb on Christmas, and
really
we do. We roast a leg of lamb, and we always offer a toast to all of our friends and family down under with a glass of New Zealand alcoholic beverages. And that has been a tradition since my 20th birthday. So going on literally 40 years. We always have lamb.
Interesting traditions.
Yeah. And we give a toast to all of our family and friends in New Zealand.
Both have very interesting traditions.
Yeah. Just one of those things.
I find it to be fascinating and marvelous at the same time. I think it's really cool. I mean, everything I did was basic. I mean,
yeah, I understand. That's wonderful too.
I guess Kevin is told he has to hunt for his dinner. So I mean, I guess
looking for
a
wabbit.
The idea that they could potentially starve is out there.
Yeah. Depending on Kevin to bring home the Thanksgiving turkey that's not from a store would be a challenge.
That's got food bank written all over it. All right. Great to have you with us today. We'll have more next hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. In fact, I know it's off topic on sports, but I mean, if you want to phone in what your traditions are for Thanksgiving?
Absolutely. Love to hear them.
I'd love to hear it. What the heck? I mean, sports is so much today about legal issues. I wouldn't mind talking food here for a little while.
Yes. Yeah.